You are listening to a message from First Baptist Hall. We hope this message challenges you and encourages you, and you can use this as a resource to grow closer to Jesus Christ. For more information about our church, check out fbchalton.org or follow us on social media at fbchalton.
Well, can we just put our hands together for the Lord Jesus and thank Him for being so good to us. Amen. It's always good to be home. This is my home church, for those that don't know. And it's always exciting to be able to preach here at my home church. This is where I was saved and baptized and was licensed, ordained to preach. And so after about 30 years in Dallas, Texas, my wife and I moved back a couple years ago, and we're excited to be in Houghton, Louisiana. How many of you are excited to be at First Baptist Houghton this morning? Amen. Can I hear you? Well, I want you to take your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 7, and while you're finding that, let me just say hello to all the folks that are watching by Facebook Live, amen? It's all welcome. Just wave at them. You don't have to turn around, just wave at them. It's good to have everybody watching Facebook Live, and we pray that if those that are watching don't know the Lord, then in just a few moments, they'll join in with us and give their life to Jesus, amen? I said they'll give their life to Jesus, amen? When we talk about Jesus, we ought to get a little excited. I said when we talk about Jesus, we ought to get a little excited. Come on, amen. Amen, all right. Matthew chapter 7, looking forward to this week. Be here for every event that includes you, and bring your friends with you. And I believe we're going to have a great, great time in the Lord. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, I want to read these in a few moments. Now, I want you to understand that I believe all the Bible's the Word of God. How about you? I believe it from Genesis to Revelation. I believe Moses lifted up the rod and the Red Sea parted. What about you? I believe that there was a Daniel and he put his head on a lion and slept in the lion's den and God saved his life. What about you? I believe Jonah got swallowed by a big fish, was in his belly 3 days and three nights, and that fish threw him up on the shore at Nineveh, and he went and preached, and the whole city got saved. How about you? You believe that? Somebody said, you really believe that? I said, yeah, I'd have believed it. The Bible, if it had said that Jonah swallowed a fish. Amen, I believe it. And I know all the Bible's the Word of God, but there's just something about these words in red that get our attention, don't they? And I want to read these three verses that I believe are some of the most powerful verses in all the Bible. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. If you're ready to hear the word of God, say amen. Now listen, let's read this with and really pay attention. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now watch. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now that does away with most church members right there. I said that does away with most church members right there. Is Jesus telling us that we have to work our way to heaven? Not at all. But he is teaching us this, and the Word of God teaches us this. Once you're saved, you will have good works. Come on, amen, you will. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not preached in your name? Cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Listen to that. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about a subject we don't hear much about. I know our pastor believes this and our church believes this, but there are many pastors and many churches that are silent when it comes to this issue. We don't hear much at all about this subject. Matter of fact, I've been to many places where senior adults have come to me after I preached a message like this, and they've said to me, I hadn't heard a message on that subject since I was a teenager. And so I pray today the Holy Spirit would really speak to us. And let me just say three quick things to you about the message. Number one, it's a word from God because it's the Word of God. Second of all, it's a wake-up call. This is Awaken Week. It's a wake-up call for us that are believers. And third of all, it's a warning for those of you that need to know Christ. And so I want us to look today at a subject called hell. Adrian Rogers said years ago, if there were more hell preached from the pulpit, there'd be less hell in the pew. Come on, amen, I believe that. Now, how many of you know God doesn't want anybody to go to hell? I said, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants you to get so saved and so full of the Holy Ghost that when a mosquito bites you, he'll go away singing there's power in the blood. Amen, he does. God wants you to be saved. He sent his son Jesus to die for your sin. But the Bible tells us about the reality of hell. I want to give you three simple and quick things and we'll be finished. First of all, I want you to see that real people go to hell. You say, Bill, who in the world are the people that are going to go to hell? Well, first of all, those that out and out reject Jesus Christ will go to hell. Galileo said in Acts 18, 17, I don't care for the things of God. Festus said in Acts 26, 24, Paul, you're beside yourself. You're crazy for following this man named Jesus. Matthew 27, 24, Pilate said, I'm going to wash my hands of Jesus. And I want you to understand this morning, I don't preach this message in any other frame of mind except with a tear in my heart and a broken heart today, because so many people are going to die and go to hell simply because they've out and out rejected Jesus Christ. Every person that says no to Jesus, I'll live my way, I don't need Jesus, I don't want Jesus, you can take the Bible, throw it away, you can take church, have it, I don't want to have anything to do with it. The Bible says those that out and out reject Christ will indeed go to an eternal hell. Is anybody in the house with me today? But there's another group of people that's going to be in hell, and these are the people that don't out and out reject Christ, and I believe this is the biggest part of the crowd that'll be in hell. It's those that have neglected Christ. One day I'll give my life to Christ, they say. But listen to what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Today's the day of salvation. James 4:14, for what's your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time and it vanishes away. And here's what I really believe is happening right now in this service. The devil is not telling you to wait for a year to get saved. He's saying just wait till tonight. And then he'll say wait till Monday night. Then he'll say wait till Tuesday night. And then he'll say wait till next weekend when the pastor's preaching. Wait till this time. Wait till that time. And one day it'll be one day too late. And you'll look up through the flames of hell, but it'll be too late. Is anybody listening to me? It'll be too late. I was witnessing to a man right here in Louisiana. He was 64 years old. We were standing in his backyard. He was sipping on a cup of coffee. It was 4 o'clock on a Monday afternoon. I begged him to give his life to Christ. He said, not today. Here's what he said. Not today, preacher, maybe tomorrow. That was 4 o'clock on Monday afternoon. Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, he was in that same backyard sipping on another cup of coffee. He had a massive heart attack, and as far as I know, he died and went to an eternal hell. Today is the day of salvation. But Jesus said, and I believe this is going to be the biggest crowd in hell, those that are deceived. Those that believe they're saved, but they're deceived. Now, folks, let's get real this morning. Not everybody that dies goes to heaven. Let me say that again. Not everybody that dies goes to heaven. Man, when you read social media, everybody's going to heaven. Oh, they're living like the devil, but they're going to heaven. Come on, amen. Let me just say this to you. If you're living for the devil, you're probably going to the devil. Come on, amen. But here's the biggest crowd that's going to be in hell. Those that are deceived and believing they're saved because they're religious. They do good things. They're a good neighbor. They help their friends. Notice what Jesus said. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? That we can say, have we not preached in your name? Have we not shared the word in your name? Lord, have we not cast out demons and done many wonderful works? I mean, miracles. Lord, have we not done these things? And Jesus said, I'm going to look at that upright religious crowd and I'm going to say, I never knew you. Hey, if the only thing you've got to hold on to is you're a Baptist, you're in trouble this morning. Come on, amen. If the only thing you have to hold on to is a baptismal certificate or a church membership, you're in trouble this morning. I've preached here many times, and I've told you, I was a lost religious person for many years before I got saved. And there are many people like that, even here this morning and watching Facebook Live. You're a good man in the eyes of the world, a good woman. You're a good student. You do good things for your friends. You give the shirt off your back. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. That does not equal being born again and being on your way to heaven with Jesus. Man, I know a lot of good people. But ladies and gentlemen, good people go to hell. Come on, amen. You know what I've discovered? Hell will take a sober man just like hell will take a drunk man. Is anybody hearing anything I'm saying this morning? Real people go to hell. But let me tell you something else. Real people go to a real hell. This isn't a figment of our imagination. This is not just some idea that some preacher made up on a Saturday night to preach about on a Sunday morning. This place is real. Jesus talked about hell. Matter of fact, 85% of the time that hell's mentioned in the Bible, it comes from the lips of Jesus. Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. He was warning us that real people not only go to hell, but they go to a real hell. Now, I want you to look at me. Everybody look at me right here. I'm not about to give you my opinion this morning. I'm going to share with you what the Word of God says about a place called hell. Because we need to hear this. Come on, amen. If you're saved today, you need to hear this, because your next door neighbor, your family member, your son, your daughter, your mama, your daddy, if they don't come to Christ, they're going to spend a Christless eternity in hell. And for those that don't know Christ, let me warn you. I feel like I'm on a road today and the bridge is out, and I'm waving my arm saying, don't go down this road. The bridge is out. Don't go. What does the Bible say about hell? Well, first of all, and this is contrary to popular belief, hell is going to be a place where people will suffer in flames of fire. I told the people in the 9:30 service, here's a sobering thought. Every person that's ever been born since the beginning of time is alive right now somewhere. We don't cease to exist when we die. We'll either go to heaven or hell. And listen, we need to understand that hell is a place of an eternal fire. Listen to what the Bible says, Luke 16:24. I am tormented in this flame. Mark 9:43, they shall go into hell, it shall never be quenched. Revelation 21:8, they shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Revelation 19:20, they are cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Matthew 25:41, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. The Bible says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible says in Matthew 25:30, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Luke 16:23, the rich man lifted up his eyes and cried. Can you imagine the moaning, the begging, the bellowing, the screaming, the hollering that's going on in hell right now while we're in this beautiful auditorium this morning? Do you realize that this is the quietest place you'll ever live? They're shouting in heaven and they're screaming in hell. Can you imagine that just for a moment this morning? They'll cry for a drop of water but won't find one. Luke 16:24, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I would have to laugh if it wasn't so sad when I hear especially men say, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell and party with my friends. Hey, buddy, there's not going to be any parties in hell. Come on, amen or not. You remember the past. I really believe this. Listen to Luke 16:25. But Abraham said, son, remember, you in your lifetime received the good things. I really believe this morning, church. I believe if you go to hell, you'll remember this service. I believe you'll remember every time our pastor stood here and pleaded with you to give your life to Christ. I believe you'll remember every time a friend of yours at school invited you to come to church or gave you a gospel tract or shared the gospel and you said no. I believe everybody in the balcony that says no to Christ one day will remember every opportunity they had to come to Jesus. But you'll have no more opportunities. It'll be too late. You'll be enveloped in darkness. Matthew 22:13, cast him into outer darkness. Here's something you'll think about. You'll die but never die. Revelation 20:14, the Bible calls it, they were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Matthew 25:41 calls it everlasting fire. Matthew 25:46 says it's everlasting punishment. Revelation 14:11 said the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Revelation 20:10, they shall be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. Oh, what a horrible place hell is. You know, one of the things we need to think about when it comes to going to hell, you'll never be changed. You know, for the believer, we're going to be changed. Come on, amen. Aren't you looking forward to being with Jesus in heaven? To be with him. But aren't you looking forward to no more pain, no more heartache, no more coronavirus, no more Alzheimer's, no more cancer? No more nursing homes, no more funeral homes, no more cemeteries. Can I hear an amen from the church? But we'll be changed. We'll get a brand new body. Isn't that going to be awesome? But it never says that about folks that die without Christ. Listen to what it says in Revelation 22:11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. You say, Bill, what does that mean? That means when you die without Jesus Christ and you spend eternity in hell, you'll have the same cravings and the same fleshly and sinful desires you had here, but never being able to get it fixed. Can you imagine a guy who's an alcoholic that goes to hell wanting a drink for all eternity but never getting one? Can you imagine a drug addict who's going through withdrawals for the rest of his life in hell? Can you imagine that person that live a perverted life and yet they have those cravings but they'll never be satisfied? Is anybody listening to what I'm saying? But never be changed. Oh, thank God for Jesus. Amen. Revelation 21:8 tells us the crowd that's going to be around folks that go to hell. Here's the first one. People that go to hell are the fearful. You say, Bill, who are the fearful? Let me just put it very simply and very plainly. Those that were too chicken to come to Jesus. I said those that were too chicken to come to Jesus. Hey, anybody suck on a beer can, anybody slap their wife, anybody can cuss and take God's name in vain, anybody can live like a bunch of animals. It takes a real man and a real woman and a real teenager, a real boy, a real girl to get saved and get full of the Holy Ghost and walk against the grain of society and say, I love Jesus. Come on, man. It takes a real man or woman to do that. I don't care if you can bench press 500 pounds, we'll whoop everybody in Bossier Parish. If you're not saved, you're a sissy. You say, I'm offended. I apologize. Sissy, sissy, sissy. Amen. You say, I'll just come up there and whoop you. Well, you probably can, but bring a sandwich. You'll be here a few minutes. Amen. Listen, anybody just sit through a sermon and say, oh, no, I'm too much of a... No, ladies and gentlemen, you know why we don't... We're fearful. We're fearful. Who else is going to be in that crowd? Well, the Bible says the unbelieving, those that couldn't figure God out. Aren't you glad we can't figure God out? If we could figure God out, then we'd be God. We'd all go to hell. I'm glad I got a God bigger than me. Come on, amen. There's a lot of things, I'm not as smart as most of y'all here today, and there's a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand how electricity works. I don't understand how you can flip on a switch over there and a light come on up there, but I'm not going to sit in the dark till I figure it out. I don't know how a brown cow can eat green grass, give white milk and yellow butter, but I enjoy it, don't you? I don't enjoy how, I enjoy those things, but I don't understand. Listen to me. Here's what I really don't understand, Brother Kevin, how God could become a man and live a perfect life and die on a cross and shed every drop of his blood, go to a grave, raise on the third day, and that man changed my life. But listen, I've been enjoying that for over 40 years. Can I hear an amen? If it was a fad, it would have gone away. If it was a feeling, it would be fleeting. But I want to tell you, Jesus is more real than this podium right here. Listen, do we have any satisfied customers this morning? Amen. Do we have anybody that loves Jesus this morning? Amen. Do we have anybody that knows what it's like to taste of the grace of God? Can I hear an amen from the church this morning? Who's going to be in hell? The abominable. Now, who are these? These are folks that just weren't content with sin and they got to brag about it. You ever been around people like that? They don't just get drunk. They got to brag about how drunk they got. They don't just commit adultery, they come back and brag to their friends about committing adultery. Is anybody listening to me? It's not that we just sin. Now we have to boast of it. We'll beat somebody out of money in a business deal and brag about it. Who's going to go to hell? Murderers. You say, oh, wait a minute, I'm off the hook on that one. Now, I don't know if you've ever killed anybody or not, but Jesus said, if you hate somebody in your heart, you've already committed murder. And can I just speak to this right now? You know one of the reasons we're not having revival in our churches? Because we have churches full of people with unforgiveness in their hearts. Some of you never forgiven that former spouse. You've never forgiven that boss that ripped you off. You've never forgiven that neighbor. You've never forgiven your mom, your dad, for whatever reason. You have that hate. And some of you, man, when you hear a certain person's name, I mean, rage comes up in you. And boy, you think, man, if I could get away with it, I would do away. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said that's murder. And some of us in here may hate people of different colors. Hate's murder. Can I hear an amen right here? Then the Bible says, turn to your neighbor and say you should amen the other things. It's going to get real quiet in here right now. Whoremongers. Who are these people? Listen, we live in a sexually perverted society. Can I hear an amen right there? They can't sell a tube of toothpaste without somebody naked walking across the screen. Sex is not bad. Three people just passed out. That boy said sex right here in the church building. Sex isn't bad. We made it bad. God created sex. Can I hear an amen right here? Now, I want to be very discreet, but just straightforward with you. There's two rules for sex in the Bible. Do you know that? Number one, and by the way, sexual intimacy, God only blesses sexual intimacy between a man and a woman that are married. But there's two rules for sex in the Bible. Number one, before you get married, don't have sex. Some teenagers say, you know, when I speak to students, they'll say, well, what can I do with my boyfriend or girlfriend? You don't do anything with your boyfriend and girlfriend you wouldn't do in front of your mom and dad. That helps you. Matter of fact, you know, we were talking about this the other night. You know, people go on dates now, they don't sit next to each other because we got the console and all that. But I used to tell teenagers, I said that, hey, listen, when you go out on a date, open up your Bible to Matthew and put it between you and your date. It's hard to climb over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Come on, amen, hello. Number one room for sex. Don't have sex before you get married. Number two, after you get married, make up for lost time. Glory to God, hallelujah. I said that in Mobile, Alabama, and a 50-year-old man came up, about knocked me down, hugged my neck, said, thank you, brother, thank you. I don't know how many teenage girls we have in here this morning, but let me tell you something, honey. Next time some sleazebag comes up to you and says, if you love me, you'll have sex with me, here's what you do. Open up your hand. This is the first thing you do. Open up your hand as wide as you can and slap the snot out of his nose holes. Second thing you do is go home and sit him down by your daddy and blink your eyes real big and say, Daddy, you know what this creep tried to do to me tonight? You won't have to worry about Bubba no more. Come on, amen. And if you don't have a daddy, call 1-800-BIG-PAPA. I'll come over and handle it. Sex is between a man and a woman. A man and a woman that are married. But now we got this deal with pornography. And man, you know, you don't have to go to some sleazy part of town to get a magazine. Now, man, people are watching it on all kinds of devices, and they're saying about 70% of the men that sit in our churches are in some way involved in pornography. And I believe that's one reason why men have been married 20, 30, 40 years or leaving their wives for some young chick they don't even know. You know, I preach a lot to young people, but now you got to talk to the adults about it. I talked to this guy. He'd been married 20, 30, 40 years. And I said, why are you leaving your wife? And he said, well, you know, Brother Bill, she just ain't got it like she used to. You know what I'm saying? I said, well, here's what you need to do, big boy. You need to go home and get in your drawers in front of a full-length mirror. You ain't got it all together either anymore. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying? Let's go to the next one. Somebody said, thank God. Sorcerers. Now, Brother Gavin, I believe this is an intelligent group of people, and I don't think anybody in here is reading tarot cards or playing with Ouija boards or calling 1-800 psychic numbers. I hope to God you're not. To me, it's silly, but let me also say it's serious because you're trafficking with demons when you get involved in that. We don't talk about this a lot, but you're messing around with demonic things. We had a psychic convention in Dallas when we were living there on North Central Expressway. They had a big sign, psychic convention, exit here. Shouldn't they have known that? It just kind of rippled across the crowd, amen. I'm a little mischievous. I called one of those 1-800 numbers, and that lady said, what's your name? I said, you tell me. But you know where, and listen, turn to your neighbor, say, don't send him an email. Don't get in his face after the service. Because we don't talk about this much anymore. But we get our word sorcery, that word pharmakia, it means to abuse drugs and alcohol. And we have so many social drinkers in the church now. Nothing good ever comes out of drinking alcohol. I said nothing good ever comes out of drinking alcohol. Is anybody listening to me? I've got a friend who's a retired state police officer, and he said he got one of those calls 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever to go work a wreck, and a young man had been killed in an accident. They had to go home and tell his parents. And of course, when they told the parents, of course, the mom and dad were torn to pieces, and the dad said, "Excuse me, officer, I got to go to my liquor cabinet, get a shot of whiskey to calm my nerves." And when he opened up the cabinet, the bottle was gone. There was a note there that said, "Dear Dad, I didn't think you would mind if I used your whiskey to celebrate my graduation tonight." I never thought I'd live long enough and preach long enough in a Baptist church where I'd have people come up to me and get up all in my face for preaching against drinking. You say, "Bill, do you think drinking a Budweiser or having a margarita or a glass of wine will send me to hell?" No, I don't. But it might send your neighbors to hell. It might send your kids to hell. Have you ever had to go to a house at 2 o'clock in the morning and pull a man off his wife because he was beating the daylights out of her because he was in a drunken stupor? Have you ever had to conduct a funeral and peel a mom and dad off the body of their son or daughter because they died in an alcohol or drug-related accident? Have you ever had to go buy groceries for a woman and her children because dad drank? Is anybody hearing me today? And if you're involved in that lifestyle, Jesus said, "Come to me." Come on, amen. Idolaters will go to hell. You know, I preach a lot in India. They got 330 million different gods. I believe we have that many in America. And I love sports, but sports has become a god. I said a god, even in the church. Oh, we can't bring Johnny and Susie to the revival meeting, you know, to awaken, because they got to be in bed by 8 o'clock at night or they can't function at school the next day. But they can be at the t-ball field at 11 o'clock. And by the way, I used to umpire Little League Baseball before they had pitching machines. You talking about getting a cussing. But I want to help some of y'all. Some of y'all, you get mad at the coach or the umpire because your little boy or girl doesn't hit the, let me help you. You know why your son or daughter doesn't get to play? They're no good. They couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. Come on, Amy, you listening to me? But we'd rather have Johnny and Susie at a t-ball practice than in the house. Come on, somebody help me around here. We'll spend hundreds and thousands of dollars getting our kids to a sports camp, but want the church to pay their kids' way to go to student camp. Isn't that amazing? What do you spend your time and energy on more than Jesus? Come on, help me right here. Y'all with me? If y'all are, say amen. But you know the biggest God that's in this room is ourselves. Some of y'all looked in the mirror this morning and became an opera star. Me, 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 me. It's all about you. Well, I'll go to church, but they better get out quick. They better sing like songs like I like. And preacher better have a good sermon, not preach too long. I mean, it's all about you. Does anybody in here still love me? Y'all getting quiet. Liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Anybody ever told a lie? Bunch of liars, get your hands up. Anybody ever told a lie? You know why we lie? We live a lie. Come on, amen. But you know the worst thing about hell? I'm about finished. You know the worst thing about hell? You'll be separated from God forever. Listen to what Jesus said. "Depart from me." Can you imagine Jesus looking at you? Man, his favorite word on earth was "come to me, come to me. Let the little children come to me. Come to me all that are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest." But here, could you imagine him looking and saying, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Listen to me. This is an awesome thought. You'll never be able to come to a service again like this. You'll never hear the Jason Lovins Band sing about the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. You'll never hear Pastor Gavin preach again and give you an opportunity to come to Christ. Your neighbor will never invite you to church. You'll never have somebody share the gospel with you. That'll all be over. Never another chance. I guarantee you, there's going to be multitudes of people in hell that didn't want to hear the gospel, didn't want to hear repentance, but they'd give everything they've ever had to hear it one more time. Come on, amen. But here's the good news. Real people go to hell. Real people go to a real hell. But here's the good news. Real people don't have to go to a real hell. Did you know what? Jesus doesn't want anybody in this room to go to hell. Come on, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus doesn't want you to go to hell. He doesn't want you to go to hell. Romans 5:8, my favorite verse in the Bible. But God commended, he showed, he proved, he illustrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Two verses earlier, Romans 5:6, for yet when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Here's the good news, ladies and gentlemen. There's not a person in Houghton, Bossier Parish, Webster Parish, Caddo Parish, Louisiana, United States, anywhere in the world. There's no one in the world that needs to go to hell because Jesus paid the price for your sin on the cross over 2,000 years ago. If you'll come to him, he'll save you. You said, that sounds so simple. You know why? Jesus did the hard part when he took the beating. He did the hard part when he took the nails in his hands and in his feet. He did the hard part when he took that crown of thorns on his head and they put a spear in his side and they spit upon him and they ridiculed him and they laughed at him. Jesus did the hard part when he died. He took on the sins of the world. He took the very wrath of God on himself so we wouldn't have to. That's why we could come in simple childlike faith in Houghton, Louisiana this morning and say, Jesus, save me. And he will, just like that, no matter what's in your past. Hey, listen, I'm finished. Balcony, listen to me. One day your heart's going to beat for the last time, right or wrong. Young people, listen to me. Sir, listen to me. Ma'am, listen. Guests, members, listen to me. One day your heart's going to beat for the last time and your chin's going to fall on a pulseless chest, and before the doctor can sign your death certificate, you're going to be standing before a holy, holy, holy God. Brother Gavin won't be there to plead your case. Your wife, your husband, your kids, your friends, your parents. And if you don't know Christ, he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Listen, at that very moment, it's not going to matter how many three-pointers you hit. It's not going to matter how much land you own. It's not going to matter how much money you got in your savings. It's not going to matter what side of the tracks you lived on. It's not going to matter what kind of car you drove. It's not going to matter how popular you were. The only thing that's going to matter when you die is, did you have a relationship with a holy God through his son, Jesus Christ? And if you do, you don't have to go to hell. Come on, amen? You can come to Christ right now. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I don't want us to get ready to leave. I want us to get ready to do business with God. And if you've ever been honest in your life, be Judgment Day honest today, would you? And I wonder how many of you in this building will say, Bill, listen, man, if I died today, if Jesus Christ came back today, I don't hope I'm a Christian. I don't think I'm a Christian. I don't just believe. I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. I know Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. I just didn't say a prayer and join a church. But I gave my life to Jesus Christ. He changed me. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if my heart beat the last time today, if Jesus came back this afternoon, I know I'd be in heaven with the Lord Jesus forever. Can I just see your hand up all over this house today? Just raise your hand at real high and just thank the Lord for saving you. God bless you. That's a lot of hands. You know there's enough people in here to turn Louisiana upside down for Jesus. If we'd wake up to who we are in Christ and who we are as a disciple of the Lord, and we'd get full of the Holy Spirit of God. So I want to ask you a question this morning, everyone that just raised their hand. I want to ask kind of a general question. How many of us that just raised their hand would say, Bill, you know what? I'm saved. I'm a Christian. But I need a personal revival this week. I need a fresh touch of God. I need to get that joy back. I need to get that excitement back. I need to return to my first love. I need revival. I'm not living like I ought to. I'm not hungry for God like I used to be. And I need revival. Can I just see your hand up all over this house today? Come on, let's get our hands up. Let's get real today. Come on, folks. Let's get honest today. Come on, let's get honest. Hey, would you do this? I know you can make a decision in your seat, but would you get up right now off of your seat and just join me around this altar so we can pray together and ask God to bring revival to our homes and our lives and our church and our community? Just come on, from the balcony, from the back row, the front row, come on. All over this house, hands went up all over this place. There ought to be dozens of folks coming right now. I know there's nothing magical or mystical about this altar up here, but it's just an act of surrender. It says, God, I heard you and I agree with you. So you need to bring your families down here, sir. You need to get your home right. Some of you young people might need to apologize to your parents. Parents might need to apologize to your kids. Listen, we're talking about eternity, man. We're talking about life and death. We're talking about heaven and hell. As folks are coming, thank God for them. I want to ask you another question. We're going to have a time of prayer here in just a moment. I want to ask you another question. How many of you from the balcony to the front, you might be in the altar, you might be in your seat, would say, hey, Bill, listen, man, if I died today, if Jesus Christ came back today, I hope I'm saved. I really do. I think I'm saved, but I got to be honest with you. If I got judgment day honest, as if I was standing before God, I hope I'm a Christian. I think I am, but I'm just not sure. I don't want to go to hell, but I'm not real sure I'm going to go to heaven either. And I want you to pray for me. Would you just raise your hand up real high across this building and say, pray for me. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to trick you. I'm not here to do anything but help you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Just raise your hand up real, real high and put it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Folks are getting honest. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up real high and put it right back down. Listen, we're here to help you, not hurt you. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be intimidated. You're in a place where people have been praying for you, love you, care for you. This is the safest place in the world to get saved right here. Anybody else before we pray, just raise your hand up real high and say, that's me today. God bless you. Anyone else? Now listen, I've got some good news for you. Anyone else before we pray? I got some good news for you. Jesus said that if we would call on him, he'd hear us and answer us. Paul wrote in Romans, he said, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So how do you call on the name of the Lord? You pray. Now, it's not a prayer that saves you. Jesus saves you, but prayer is the way we talk to Jesus. So I'm going to ask people from the altar all the way to the top row of the balcony right now to pray and ask the Lord to save them. Listen, hell's real. Heaven's real. Jesus loves you. He died for you. You don't have to go to hell. You can ask him to save you right now, okay? You ready? You can pray this prayer with me out loud. You can pray in the privacy of your heart. You can put this prayer in your own words. We just pray something like this. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, come on, pray with me. Ask the Lord to save you. Don't wait. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Tell him. Everybody that raised their hand, pray with me. And even those that didn't, but no, you should have. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. But I believe you loved me and died for me on the cross. Tell him. And I believe you rose again from the dead. And you're alive right now. And Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I repent. You're right. I'm wrong. Tell him. Forgive me, Jesus. Cleanse me. And then tell him this. I give you my life completely, and I receive you as my Lord. Tell him, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And then tell him this. I'll live for you the rest of my life because you died for me. And by faith, just thank him for saving you this morning. Even those that are watching by Facebook, just thank him. Say, thank you, Lord. Now, with our heads bowed, eyes closed, how many of you just prayed that simple prayer of faith with me? Can I just see your hand up across this room? Just keep your hands up real high so I can see you all across this room. God bless you. All the way at the top of the balcony, over here in the back, over here in the front. Anybody else? God bless you. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. It's going to take some courage, okay? I'm going to tell you straight up, it's going to take some courage. If you just prayed with me, I want you to look up at me. I want you to just look up at me. And for everybody that's looking at me, what you're saying is, Bill, I'm giving my life to Jesus. Is that right? Amen? Just keep looking right here. Over here, did y'all give your life to Christ today? Praise God. Over here, did y'all give your life to Jesus today? Up in the balcony, wave at me. Did you give your life to Christ today? Amen. Now look at me. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, if you confess me before people here on this earth, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me here on earth, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. What does that mean? Jesus has no secret disciples. He calls us publicly. So I'm going to ask you to do what Jesus commands us to do, what I did. One of the reasons I knew I got saved, I wanted somebody to know about it. So if you're looking at me today, you're saying, Bill, I'm giving my life to Christ. I want you to stand up right where you are. Don't wait on anybody else. Just stand up right where you are, all over this auditorium. Just stand up right where you are, all over this auditorium. And I want you to walk right over here to the pastor. Would you do that? We want to rejoice with you. We want to rejoice with you. Come on, all the way in the back. Come on, we'll wait on you. In the balcony, come on, we'll wait on you. If you don't want to come down here by yourself, a friend will come with you. Just look at your neighbor and say, would you walk down there with me? And they'll help you. Come on, girls. Come on, boys, teenagers, men, women. Come on. Y'all just keep coming right over here. Don't go sit back down. Just come over here. We want to know who you are. We want to praise God with you. We want to praise God for you. Praise God. Folks are still coming. We'll wait on you. That's right. Just keep coming. We need our counselors to come and stand with these sweet folks. Would you do that? Everybody that's going to help, just come around them. And don't go back and sit down. If y'all are up here at the front, we want to have somebody talk with you. Know what God's doing in your life. Other folks are still coming, so come on. We need a lot more counselors, okay? Many more counselors. All right, while these folks are standing here, we're going to do one more thing before we pray and sing. In just a moment, I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to look at them in the eyes, not right now. And I want you to ask them this question. Hey, if you were to die right now, do you know for sure you'd be with Jesus in a place called heaven? You know your sins are forgiven. And if you don't know, just say, man, I don't know. And if that person next to you says, I don't know, I don't care if it's a family member or somebody you don't know. If they say, I don't know, I want you to grab them by the hand and say, come on, I'll go with you right now. I'll go with you right now. So turn to somebody right now. Don't just sit there. Come on, don't just sit there. You might help somebody get saved this morning. Just turn to your neighbor. Come on, turn to your neighbor all over this building. This is an easy way to share the gospel right here in this church house. And if that person doesn't know, just grab them by the hand and say, come on, I'll go with you. So anybody need to come on right now. Let's all stand together. I'm going to pray. We're going to have some singing. And if others need to come, there's plenty of time to come. Plenty of time to come. And then Pastor Gavin will give us our instructions. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you are going to do this week. We thank you for folks that were saved this morning in the early service, now in this service. We thank you, Lord, for those that I pray have trusted you watching Facebook Live or maybe gotten their heart right with you. And Lord, we just bless you today and we thank you. And God, I pray if there's anyone else, Lord, I pray no one would leave this property at First Baptist Hall until they've gotten their eternal destination settled today. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. As we sing, you come on and join these.
Thanks for listening. If you want more information about FBC Halton, check us out on our website at fbchalton.org or follow us on social media at FBC Halton.